The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Group Chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
We consume celebrity culture every single day. The music, movies, interviews, viral moments on social media. But what happens when the people entertaining us are quietly falling apart behind the scenes in front of the world? This week on Group Chat, we're talking about fame, pressure, burnout, social media, and the mental health struggles hiding behind the spotlight. That's this week's episode of Group Chat. Music. They just do that so we get a little dance break in between. We get ready.
Charles is doing it now. Too, did you see?
I like that music. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm almost there, y'all.
Nayla, I'm sorry. Catillo, also yes. Ready. What do we think? Still June 19th?
Yes, I'm still going with June 19th. Charles but June 19th. But I will say, and I did say this. I did say I was going to say this. Shout out to Jack Cruiser, our BTPM sports lead person. He's chimed in on the bet too. So
wait, there's a bet?
Yes.
I've
been saying that we need to start a Nayla baby watch pool.
Yeah.
And I'm going with June 19th. I've been saying that June 19th.
Oh, so I have to pick a different date?
Yeah, it's definitely not 4th of July. Even my doctor was like,
I'm saying June 21st.
June 21st. Yeah. Okay.
And Jack is going with June 23rd.
Okay. Oh, okay.
See, I split the middle.
So
for our listening audience, Nayla is with child. At this point, it seems like a toddler. And due July 4th, but we think it's going to be earlier.
He's been measuring a month ahead. So
I'm telling you, The baby knew not that we not coming out 4th of July. We not doing 4th of July.
Juneteenth is too much
we
going
doing
on.
We're doing Juneteenth.
Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Juneteenth.
And our listeners and viewers are very invested in this, so we had to make sure we gave an update. Because I feel like over the last couple of weeks, that's what we've gotten the most comments on.
My neighbor even was like this all yesterday. He's like, I'm with Charles.
I'm telling you. I just in my soul, I feel like that baby's like, yeah, I'm coming out Juneteenth.
I'm ready for Juneteenth, baby.
I was at dinner with a friend and she was talking to me about you and I was like, oh, you know Nayla? She's like, no, on group chat. And I was like, how do you know so much about her due date?
Because we talk about it. We talk about it on here. But as I always like to do before we go any further, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe right here to this channel. Leave a comment when y'all think Nayla's dropping her baby.
Dropping her? Oh, so it's like an album drop?
Yes, album drop.
Yes.
It's already low. We already dropped low. Just dropped out.
I just want to clarify. Oh, so we have a great show today. Because we are responsible group chat hosts. Mm-hmm. We do talk a lot about celebrities and some of the crazy things they do. But it being Mental Health Awareness Month, we wanted to dive into that a little bit more. So coming up, we're going to have Emily Higgins, who is a licensed mental health counselor. Krista Mannion, who has been on before. We had her on another episode. She was great. Licensed marriage and family therapist at Marriage and Family Therapy of Western New York. And then we'll be joined later by Chef Camille LaClaire, celebrity chef, and also just to give that perspective of a behind-the-scenes look at that world as well. But before we get into all that, State of the Scroll.
Charles.
I wore a proper shirt for today.
You did. I don't have anything that fits. But.
I don't have anything that's not black because Charles sent an urgent, serious demand text last night that said, can you two please stop wearing black?
Yeah, we have black behind us.
And our chairs, today. So we blend
in.
There's
a reason, because, y'all are always in black. We have black couches, black chairs. So sometimes it kind of looks like it's just hands and head. people may see. And because, you know, we are in a different location right now.
Yeah.
The backdrop is black, so.
No, it was smart, but yeah. I don't own it.
But yeah.
I have like summer listened. Black.
We followed directions. We followed directions. We did our homework.
But Bentley, you are in orange and blue.
That's right.
Not Matt's colors, Knicks colors.
Knicks colors. Yes. Because the New York Knicks, for the first time in 27
Let's go.
Years, are in the NBA Finals.
Get that
Charles
baby
is,
out.
Charles
so
is not happy about
get
that.
Get that baby out so your baby can see the Knicks.
I know.
Knicks and
that's what, yes, him and Spike Lee.
Well, see, there's a reason why I am dreading the Knicks being Uh-oh. In the finals.
Oh, boy.
And if anybody knows what I'm going to say.
Oh!
Yes. It's our favorite person in the whole entire world, Stephen Anthony Smith.
Oh! I forgot. But he doesn't count. New York doesn't claim him.
I know.
New York
Listen,
does not claim Stephen
I'd be
A.
in the first take comments when they post all the stuff with him and the New York stuff, and he's all, go New York, go New York, go. I hate it. But I tell them, Knicks fans don't even acknowledge him.
They
as
don't.
A
I totally forgot to. You just said something right now.
Right. So that's the only thing I'm dreading. I'm dreading just hearing him scream about orange and blue skies and everything's. Yeah. But I am happy for the real fans of the Knicks. The energy that I see in New York City is. When the Knicks are winning, New York is in a better place.
It is. I can't deny that.
There's like, an energy
everyone's happy.
For sure.
It's just like when the Bills win. Everything seems to be happier in the city.
Everybody joins together.
Yes, people join together, people that you don't think of. They just come together. They're celebrating. They're happy. So I'm happy for Knicks fans because you made it here.
We had to.
That's coming from a Lakers fan, too.
Yeah.
Oh, can we,
on the other side.
But we do have therapists on today later on that are joining us. And I would really like to, you know, if you need any. The thing with Stephen A. Smith and you is such a trigger. I mean, maybe we need to talk about that. You don't see Charles get triggered very often. But
no,
that is.
Charles is the most laid back human being, but you mentioned Stephen A.
That's a trigger. So just
there's
terrible.
A few Same. Things that.
Might want to talk it out.
There's a few things that set me off. A few things. Stephen A. is one of them. So last week, we were speaking about Drake and
Boo.
The Ice
Why
album.
Why are we still
Ice
talking
Man
about
album.
This man?
Because it's very ironic and funny that we talked about Drake on Thursday, last Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And that same day,
he showed up in the 716.
he was in Buffalo. Well, he was in 716. I don't know what part. Apparently, he was in, like, Cheektowaga. Then he was in Niagara Falls. But anyway, he was in Buffalo. He gifted somebody a car because they went viral for his song off of Iceman, Janice, which happened to be the record that broke Michael Jackson's Billboard record for number ones, even though now there seems to be this controversy on Twitter because you know how Twitter will kind of fact check stuff?
Yeah.
Apparently, on Twitter, there's a fact check that came up that says that technically he has 6 solo by himself number ones. All the other ones is either him featured or has a guest feature. So now it's this big controversy on did he really surpass Michael Jackson for number one billboards?
And arguably music is just also not as good as it was when Michael Jackson was there. So who's he really competing against? He dropped it with like nobody else coming out.
And well, how are they counting things? Like,
well, see, this is my argument because apparently like Drake made a post with a sketch of Michael Jackson with braids and said all this stuff about how he surpassed him, right? And I've always said, in my opinion, Drake is like how LeBron is trying to surpass Jordan in being the GOAT.
Yeah.
He's trying to do it on longevity, and he's trying to do it with the numbers. Because anybody with the eye test could tell you there's not a person walking this earth that thinks that Drake is a better artist than Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Michael Jackson stood in the middle of Wembley Stadium for 5 minutes and didn't move and had people passing out.
And think about consumption, because then you bought a Michael Jackson album and you listened to it over and over again. Now you're, you know, more so in his heyday, you're streaming the song over and over again and you're getting those numbers.
Yeah.
But also, Charles, I would like to note that this, you all pick, Nyla doesn't pick at me, that I'm always a skeptic and I'm always like, oh, can we look more into that? Because I did not believe that statistic when I first heard it, and then you dug into it, and what did you find out? But you were invested in that already, so you are already skeptical.
Because is it international standards, or is it just the U.S.? Is it just U.S. Billboard or internet? Because I can't
Billboard Top 100. That's
okay. Because I can't believe that he's arguably bigger than Michael Jackson.
No, and that incorporates streams too.
Yeah.
He's not that's just the thing. But because the younger generation is already deeming him the greatest artist.
Who?
The younger generation.
They don't know anything. They also, the reading's also questionable. We use all kind of devices because we can't pull out a book. I mean, I can skip Gen Z's thoughts on that.
Can we just add Drake to the trigger list for our next segment?
Drake is my trigger. Stephen Charles. A is Charles' trigger. Drake is my trigger.
Oh, okay.
Drake is your trigger. Britney could be your trigger.
Britney
too.
Is also my trigger.
Britney.
They
should have
left
there.
Her where she was.
But she just has an interesting outlook on it. I don't know.
Given our topic today. Given our topic today.
Oh, I know who my trigger is.
I'm trying to.
I think. Well, no. Is it because of Lewis Hamilton?
Yes. Yeah, that's your trigger.
Yes.
Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Only when she started dating Lewis Hamilton. Because of that Kardashian curse.
It is.
Stay away from my. Stay away from my
F1
driver.
I'm just waiting for that to just collapse and fall.
Yeah.
Where's Kanye?
That's why Timothy Chalamet needs to stay away from these games. But as long as nobody starts dating anybody, we're good.
It's the curse.
All right. I think that's a good way to bring those therapists in now. Because clearly we are invested in these.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrities.
We're investing in all this, and you know what? We need to...
We need some intervention.
Yes.
So coming up on Group Chat, we'll be joined by Emily Higgins, a licensed mental health therapist, and Krista Mannion, licensed marriage and family therapist. And still here with you, Charles, Nyla, and Bentley, next on Group Chat.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on BTPM NPR, enjoying world-class performances on BTPM Classical, discovering new local artists on BTPM The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on BTPM PBS, Public Media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to the chat. We have more people now that have joined the chat with me, Bentley, Nyla, and Charles, because we need some other opinions in here. We need some professional opinions in this group chat space. Mm-hmm. So we have Emily Higgins, who is a licensed mental health counselor.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And Krista Mannion, licensed marriage and family therapist at Marriage and Family Therapy of Western New York. And just briefly, to people that might not know the difference, because they're two... It sounds like different things. Mm-hmm. So there are two areas of study, right? Or how do they differ?
I mean, partially schooling, training, preference too as a therapist, and what, you know, the clientele and population you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We were just talking before recording how you prefer individuals and I prefer a lot of people in the room, families, couples. Ooh, so I think
so you
that's
do like one of those intervention shows, like she's the addiction got shows.
Yeah, Krista. So Krista should just be a regular on group chat. Maybe
come to that in our conversations.
Listen, I love Dr. Drew when he did Celebrity Rehab. Then things kind of went off.
I know, they're looking
off
like they like he's not real.
No, I don't know. I think in the beginning he was. He seemed real.
Or was he like a Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no,
yeah,
Dr.
Not
Phil.
Not that bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my show too. I was like, ooh.
Because I felt like they were actually going through the process, but was that smoke and mirrors maybe?
I think he really does have like the background and the ability, but it's just like any reality type thing.
Yeah.
You end up catering to the audience and
the storyline.
So, you know, we often, when we go through, especially in State of the Scroll, I mean, today we were very Knicks heavy, but, you know, we popped through a bunch of the topics that are happening in pop culture. And I mean, I feel like every week there's some sort of situation with a celebrity, and it has to do with something that may not be diagnosed as mental health, but then something comes out after. Mm-hmm. So are we more aware now as a society because of social media and knowing all these things about people to look for those things, or are we playing into, I don't know.
I feel like people self-diagnose. Like if I hear like narcissism one time, like more than like three times a week from somebody that is just not credible to give any kind of diagnosis. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's like a catch-22. It's like people are bringing it up and people are more aware of it, but part of it is like, especially with the younger generation, is like, are you just like being lazy and using that as a cop out? And this is me as like the professor who deals with all of those students all the time. Or are you using it just because like there's more terminology that's put out there? And so then like we're just diagnosing everybody and saying everyone has mental health issues.
I think it's a bit of both. I don't think that social media is like inherently good or bad, but it definitely magnifies. So I think it magnifies the good. I think you can find community and like education and things like that. But I also think it magnifies maybe isolation and comparison and kind of the weaponizing of those words, like you said, like narcissism or triggering or gaslighting, things like that.
Oh, yeah, I used triggering quite a bit earlier.
Yeah, we just talked about it today.
There's a lot of triggers, yeah.
But, you know, maybe I shouldn't be using that word in this sense because people that are actually triggered, it is a mental health situation. So maybe I need to get better about that.
Well, I get nervous about that because there are certain people and they use that. It's like, is it triggering or you just don't like them? Right. Or you just don't want to be in the room with them, or you be like I don't know. I just feel like we have lacked a lot of like communication skills because we are on social media more or on our devices, so we don't really communicate as much as we used to maybe with our feelings. But then I don't know. Then I have like friends that come around and they are like, my parents were horrible, human beings, and they were like making them lunches every day. I don't know.
Yeah, when we were talking before during the break about Britney Spears, because she keeps coming up in the knives.
Oh yeah, that's my girl, Britney.
And
I love Britney.
I feel like I am a Britney defender, probably because I grew up on her. Mm-hmm. But I also see what happened to her at an early age, so it all sort of makes sense. But then you have social media that's just, you see these Instagram videos of her all the time, and you see social media in terms of showing the bad stuff about her. But then it also offers a conversation that we didn't have before, where people can comment and talk about she's having a mental health crisis so it's like, in one way, the videos are like, why are we engaging in this? But then it also opens up the conversation. So is that.
And I think it's wonderful that we're having these conversations now, and it's a much more open topic. But I think it's now, what's the follow through? What do you do to change this? What kind of interventions? And, I don't think maybe necessarily the support's always there. I mean, there is, but, to what end, for those types of celebrities or in pop culture?
Do you mean like so support for Britney?
Yeah. Like, she was under the conservatorship and all that for all that time. But there needs to be, what else you know, she was in rehab. Yeah. Yeah. But I think just that constant spotlight just always kind of magnifies on her what's not going right. And it's hard to kind of probably move past that.
Yeah.
And we lose the nuance.
For, yeah. And I think it's hard for families too. Like, you're always in the limelight. Like, you don't have that privacy to grieve or to like actually go through difficulty. Like, someone's always judging you. So I think that's a difficult thing.
Because then the healing process is also in the spotlight. Because healing is not linear. It's not absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because she's still got the knives, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. The knives are still there. Yeah.
With the bikini at bottoms.
But but Krista, that's interesting about the healing process because, yeah, she came, like, got out of rehab and then she's right back in the spotlight. So, I mean, obviously, you know, Emily, when you were talking about the people and resources, it's like there's always a lot of yes people around celebrities, too.
Yeah. I think that's a really hard part when you're a celebrity because when you're in those spaces, I think you're dealing with mental, you don't want people, no one wants to be told no, or that they're doing something wrong. Yeah. Or, you know, I think it takes a certain kind of personality before you go into that world to be able to take criticism.
Absolutely.
Well.
For sure. Yeah.
So, what can we do better as consumers? Sorry.
No, Charlie. I was going to say.
Sorry, Charles. Say someone, we got really into that.
No, someone has chimed in and they have a question, but have a question for Krista.
Okay.
Their question is, what's one thing that couples can do this month to emotionally connect more?
Oh,
okay.
Wow, that's like a kind of out of nowhere situation.
Yeah.
Love is in the air.
I think connection happens in a lot of like different ways, certainly with the weather being so nice. Like I'm always encouraging couples to go on a walk, right? Like go move your body together, see what conversations spark. I think we're also entering the season in Western New York where there are so many fun things to do. Like that's a form of connection. And sometimes asking the same questions that maybe you've already asked before in your relationship, like where do you most feel like yourself? You might know the answer. You might think you know the answer. You might have already talked about that early on in your relationship, but those answers should change as you continue in your relationship. So it's always nice to go back and see if they have.
Yeah. Well, and I was actually, before that question came, but it aligns a little bit with that, is as we're talking about pop culture and how we view people and how we interact on social media, what are the things that we can do as consumers of pop culture to help with our own mental health, but also not play into the things that might be, you know, making the situation worse? Do we not click on the videos? Do we not engage?
I think that's a hard, I don't know if there's a right or wrong. Yeah. What the answer, I think that's the problem is nobody knows the answer, right? Especially for pop culture, like, you know, being present and being known and having the followers is what they want, right? But it doesn't turn off. So I don't know. Do you have any?
I think it can be really good. Like I get a lot of clients that say they saw stuff online and it really resonates with them, or, oh my God, they heard this person talking on a podcast and they wonder if that fits into their world. And I think that's good. But I think like the thing that is different is they're not just ruminating on it and maybe internalizing it. They're having open discussions, especially with like a mental health professional, because then we get to say, okay, like tell me more about that. Or this is like the actual definition of that thing. Does that fit, right? Things like that. So I think just keep having dialogue about it is probably the biggest thing. But also you know yourself the best. Like you might know when you start heading into like the comparison or doom scrolling, right? So limit it, go touch grass, go call a friend, something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. The touching grass thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's important.
So we're gonna bring in another person to the chat in a few. And he's going to talk a little bit, Chef Camille, because he is in the celebrity chef world. And, you know, I think that Anthony Bourdain's book definitely brought some things to light and some things that chefs in the food world deal with. But even as we talk about other famous people like Kanye and these, I feel like these discussions are happening more than they were. Do you see that these types of books or situations happening are helping just the general population, the non-celebrity world? Is it hurting it?
I think it's helping. I think it normalizes it. I think people kind of, they want to see that there's, you know, messy struggles out there for even, you know, the very famous and, you know, people out in the public like that. So I think it normalizes it. But to what cost to the you know, to that person who's sharing very vulnerable information about their life and what they've gone through. So
yeah.
I think there's like a fine line of how to respect that, but yeah. and also relate to it.
Yeah. How do you all feel about, because there's like this big thing now with like Mel Robbins and like these folks that are like actually not, you know, educated like you all are in your field that have these people on their shows and they're doing these podcasts and they're giving all this kind of like mental health, you know, recommendations or these theories. Like, how do you all feel about that? Because I know there's a huge like crew of like therapists and counselors that are like, you all are trash. Please stop doing this because you are messing up people's lives and like let them is not going to just get you where you need to go.
I think it's like an oversimplification of it. Or then I get people who maybe try to like weaponize it. So while I think I can agree with some parts of like the let them theory with Mel Robbins, like there's also a deeper conversation to be had. It's not just I get to do what I want, so I'm letting them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I do you like how
drama
we have,
on. You gotta go
I know.
With
well,
the
do
drama
you like how we have these like you can tell they're professional therapists because they're not like playing into our.
Oh yeah,
like,
they're not
well,
engaging in our. There are in our
yes,
that
yeah,
we're
yeah,
about
yeah.
Right now. Like they're not as invested.
Yeah,
in
there
it.
Are ways you can look at. There's multiple ways you can look at this. It's funny because I actually asked my therapist because she told me about a book I should read, and then I asked her about that book. She's like, why don't you read the other book? You know, she didn't.
Like, why don't you read someone that, like, I don't know, went to school and read?
She didn't say, like, she didn't talk down on anybody, but she's like, how about you read the book that I suggested?
Yes.
So yeah, that is all of the online stuff around that, too. But that's another way that, like, social media helps you, too, because you're like, oh, wait, other people are talking about this and it may not be.
It's like the idea I think of like fake news, you know, it's like, okay, well, like, let's look at your sources here. And I think people just, I think they just stop at the initial like fanfare because people have a lot of followers or influencers or they're like showing this kind of like fake life or they might show things that like people can relate to. It's like, oh, I can relate to that. And so then they just like click on it because I think they really get vulnerable people and it almost becomes like cult-like. Is what I've noticed in like this wellness world on social media, which is kind of a little scary that you have people that are like kind of blindly following other folks just because they're really vulnerable. It's the same thing with like people using AI because they don't really want to like reach out to a counselor or
it's
a therapist.
Hard, we were talking about that before about, you know, as a therapist, when we have a client come to us and say that they went to ChatGPT, it's like, oh, come to me first.
We
and then,
good at keeping straight faces because I don't know if I would leave someone. I'm like, oh, how did that conversation go between yourself?
Well, at least they know that they can come to you, even though you might have to reverse some of the ChatGPT therapy.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's also a message to our listeners and viewers that there are wonderful
licensed people that went to school for a very long time.
That have the human experience. Yes, like ChatGPT doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So, like, you're kind of missing that when you're trying to get support with that vulnerability.
Yeah. And you can't see, like, cues or anything, you know, when you're not with a person. So, coming up, Charles, we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
I don't know. Sometimes Charles just sits there a little too calm, and I'm like, what is happening, Charles? There's me. You know, they're probably like psychoanalyzing us right now.
Like, Charles is looking like these two over here.
Okay. Coming up, we'll be.
I am not psychoanalyzing anything. I am just sitting here listening in.
I'm just making sure Chef Camille's here because he came here. He's building a house right now. So,
and he just did a marathon and he puts out fires. See, that's what y'all need to talk to. Where's Chef Camille? We need Chef Camille coming. I don't know how he's doing everything.
Yeah, we're going to bring him on next on Group Chat. Stick around.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to the chat. Bentley, Nayila, Charles, all still here. Emily had to go to her job as a therapist. So she's fulfilling, patience. Fighting the good fight and has an appointment. Krista decided to still hang around with us. Krista Mannion, licensed marriage and family therapist at Marriage and Family Therapy of Western New York. And we are joined by celebrity chef Camille. Camille, thank you. I got to just say, Camille was like, oh, I want to do this episode so bad, but I'm building a house and putting a, or not building a house, bought a house, building a patio. And I was like, Camille, just wear your work clothes.
And run a marathon and taking out fires. See, yeah. you're the exhibit. See, y'all can work together. Because I know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? Like, that's just so much. First of all, putting out fires is, I can't even, like, literally, like, not fires, like, at work and the way we think about it, like, actual fires and doing a marathon, like a marathon and Ironman you're doing. And yeah. Like, how do you?
It takes a village. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a good coach, nutritionist. Shout out to Stevie, Dante, Atem for my coach. My coordinators, Molly, who's been with me as long as I had the business, 6 years, over 500 different private events. And then the calendars, like where it's like fit to like the square. Like the like you have to be like so precise with it that there is room for messing up.
Yeah.
But it has to be like really perfect. I was out of the country for TV, and then I got back from Toronto on Thursday. Then I had to get ready the prep for dinner for 22 people on Saturday, and then I left the dinners. It was probably like 10:30 p.m. when I got home, and then with the help with my friend Mike, probably like was able to go to bed at 11:30, and then woke up back at 4:30 a.m. to do my first marathon. So it's like, yeah, wow. It was definitely, it was spicy. I felt like really humble. I was like, oh my God, how do people like do a marathon? Over 21 miles. I was like, oh my God, do not stop. It was great. It was fantastic. Smile all the way. And I'm getting ready for my, start back right the next day. I had a friend say, hey, you want to go on a bike ride? And I did a 30-mile bike ride. And then back at the swimming pool the next day, because guess what? So it's like I'm on to the next race now. It's like next week I'm going to Western Mass Ironman. And then I got to just like get in the waters at 6 a.m. There's, I'm taking some time there. So I'm going to be there on Friday. Saturday is orientations. And then Sunday is a race. And I will be back on Monday mornings, back at the firehouse on Tuesday. And I was at the firehouse. Oh, yes, I was at the firehouse on I was at the firehouse yesterday. It can be a lot of headache. When I explain my schedules, people get worried. They're like, how do you do it? Because it's like you're going from concrete to a few things.
Agreed to being on TV. But I followed when we first had you on the show, mm-hmm. and I followed you because of your chef endeavors and mm-hmm. just being a fan of your food. But I also saw you getting into the marathons and working out and that journey. Did you use that as a mental health or like a therapy to balance you out?
For sure. Definitely. It's like, it's like sometimes we say it's like, you know, you need to talk, you know. So I do have I do therapy bi-weekly, sometimes weekly, depending on the needs. Very important.
That's like a marathon too.
Very important. It's, I saw my therapist yesterday at 10 a.m. and then CD-like counseling. And then I also do therapy with the children. So we have family therapy because it's important for their emotions. And that's things that maybe sometimes we don't hear, you know, and we want them to express their feeling.
Yeah.
With the mother of my children. So it's like it kind of just like help mm-hmm. co-parenting. And then, runnings becomes, I was having a lot on my mind. And sometimes it's not about talking. It's just on like making times. And talking about making time, people say like, oh my God, you're just going to do more to add more to your weeks. And actually not, you know, it's like, and I say like some personalities like inspire me, such as like Gordon Ramsay. He's huge in the Ironman's world. And then he does a lot of Ironman's. There's a bunch of people. Harry Styles does also like some marathons. People love Harry Styles. A lot of like, you know, personality find their way because it's constant and it's driven by like, you know, it's like zone two, which is like you don't go crazy fast, but you're just doing it slow for long times. So it's not like a long effort where you're going to just take deadlift and then try to like, you know, break your nerves. It's just going to be something where it's going to be consistent and it's going to be long and repetitive. And that helped me through the snow because I don't like to run on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. Something about me, I just don't find myself like in, at peace on a treadmill. So you will see me runs at 9 degrees, you know, like outside with snow. I will be running outside. I just love it. And then I think it's like I find it so peaceful being in Delaware Park in the middle of the winters with the snow. And it's something magical. Yeah.
Krista, you know, we were talking about some of the negative things we see in pop culture, but then also you were talking about how there's ways that people are also inspired. So, you know, he also mentioned some celebrities mm-hmm. that are doing things like marathons and things like that. Is that something that you find helpful when in therapy to focus people on? Or
yeah, I don't know if I like specifically spend a lot of time like pointing people out, but I love it when I have clients come in and say, oh my God, like I was inspired by this influencer or this person that I follow on social media and they started doing this and it's really helping me. And it also helps me have resources then, right? Like one client might tell me something that really helped them. So I kind of have it in the back of my mind when I see another client who might be struggling with something similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know, besides the success you've had, Camille, we always see these things about behind the scenes and kitchens and, you know, the stress of that. And then also, you know, the reality shows, like, I get stressed watching. I mean, obviously, Chef Darian just won next level chef. But, like, I get stressed watching the show. I got stressed watching you on the Halloween. Was Halloween baking, right? And I know it's all going to be okay, but I'm like, oh my gosh, they have to do this in that time. And they have to
It's that urgency of like, but sometimes that can be a good stress, you know, like you're constantly getting through something like it feels good when you're able to accomplish something that you don't think that you're able to. Yeah. But I think when you do it for a long period of time, like I think those like housewife shows and things like that, I think it can kind of turn those like reality shows on its head and create more stress and, you know, cause you're getting more popular, but your business is out there super publicly. And
you're also very one side track it because Mama Foucault was saying, you know, it's like one day it's like chefs are mercenary in the kitchens, but they can't barely take care of themselves outside in the real life.
Yeah.
And that's something very real because we are in the kitchens and then we are so programmed in everyone's going to get there at 7 p.m. Everyone's going to want to get the food at the same time. So we can't get away from the protocol of how it works in the kitchens and then we just apply it to our real life, which is not possible. And then we're starting to just like see some change, you know, it's like talking about mental health, you know, and you make a lot, you know, you can make some mistake. You can hurt feelings, you can and you know, you gotta evolve, you gotta become a better human, you gotta be take accountability and then move forward, you know, it's like towards like goals and that are realistic and then goals who are not linked to always like your craft. And that is so important because as always it's like you just silently, you know, burning out. And people say, oh, you will add more to your life, you're going to burn out. And I think it's more like having a portfolio of activities where you can just like, you know, okay, it's like I can talk about something else than food and I can have fun with it. Because that's the things too, you know, it's like we talk about going on TV show, we talk about cooking and it's like, okay, but like what else, you know, like goes, you know, like up in your mind. And I love, you know, hiking. I love the idea on like mountains. Something that I'm really linked to it, the nature and you know, it's like all the flash, the cameras getting into you. And now you're looking for something peaceful. It's detox and intox. Mm-hmm. Both are great, but you need both to make it.
I feel like this is an intervention for me because like we were saying, like, you know, when you're Charles is laughing because he knows because he deals with half of it. I'm Bentley Nayula here, Chef Camille and therapist Krista Mannion. When you say about, like, talk about honing your craft and you know, always kind of having to be on. Yeah. And with food and, you know, having your own business and restaurant, but also being at such a high level, you don't feel like you can make a mistake.
Yeah, you cannot make a mistake. It's more like your credibility, because now you became, you know, it's like if something doesn't work and you're worried that it's like, you know, it's like it's going to echo even further down, because there will be also, you know, it's like... I don't want to be negative, but there will be also, like, you know, it's like characters that might gonna just come for you. Mm-hmm. And then and yeah, it's like they're gonna want to come for you, because it's like you have the public you know, it's like image, so you have more to lose than like someone in the dark stuck in a closet. And then, you know, it's like, and they're gonna come for you, you know, and then just try to make a narrative. And that narrative, you got to make sure that, you know, it's like you outshine, you know, it's like at the best of yourself starting now today. And not, you know, like dwell on any things. That is very important, because it's a life worth living, you know. We lost someone in the fire department, a captain. And you know, like mental health issue between firefighters and police, you know, mm-hmm. like you see it there, you know, like it can be toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, like, you know, like talk around the tables. It's like, we don't talk about it. We are men. We don't talk, you know, like how we feel. And then that over, you know, like saturated emotions, not getting talk at the firehouse or like around the tables, because we feel like we're men, we bring it up to the house. And then we don't bring it up with, like, you know, to our loved ones in a meaningful way. We just, like, you know, get over about. So you have to find a way to change that culture. Yeah. And that's that starts, you know, it's like with... what can you do to assess and mitigate that? And I think is starting in the workplace, doing it the works, and then not bringing it home. Yeah, mm-hmm. like the
yeah.
Because, you know, it's like I don't know, for you group chat, you know, it's like you do the radio, but, you know, when you talk with the coworkers, it goes a long way when there's empathy, and you're like, you know, it's like I know, it's like we're not in the same chairs. You're theirs. I'm on the other side, but like, oh man, all that editing, you know, it's like going, you know, it's like forward. It's like, and you hear me talking, all my voices all the time. So, yeah.
It's, you don't know me, Camille.
No. I like the shirt, by the way. New York Knicks is like, they're doing great right now.
No, you pretty much just explained me. And I and you know, we talk about Charles and his little subtle, like, Charles just sitting there. I'm like, he, the look on his face, he's like, oh, you just explained Bentley.
Chris, how do you deal with those personnel? Because I'm sure you get them, especially like family settings, with mm-hmm. people that have these high stakes jobs or like very A-type type of work or non-traditional work. You know, mm-hmm. I think we're all here in like very non-traditional, you know, pathways. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that in a family setting? Because the idea of like a traditional family is like a social construct that people have to live by that some people don't understand. So there's mm-hmm. always that additional judgment of like, well, you don't have the typical 9 to 5 and we have dinner exactly at this time every mm-hmm. single night. It's How do hard. You manage that with families?
Well, it's a lot of asking what they want, because like I'm not there to put my opinions in mm-hmm. the mix, right? Like what works for my family is not going to work for another family. So I want to know what they're wanting. And then sometimes it's just as simple as saying, okay, so what you're doing isn't contributing to that goal that you're wanting, right? But part of it is, like you said, kind of breaking down like societal norms or expectations. I tell my clients, like, my goal isn't to turn you into like a super like sappy, lovey-dovey, like emotional person. If that's not who you are, mm-hmm. you do still need to talk about your emotions though, because we mm-hmm. all have them. And the way I might talk about emotions can be different than the way you might talk about emotions. Mm-hmm. Let's find language that works for you, so you're not just shoving it down and pretending like it's fine, because it's gonna come out somewhere along the line.
Yeah. Do you find that judgment? I feel like people are so judgmental, especially when they don't know like what people go through. And you do see it a lot in, you know, with firefighters and police mm-hmm. officers. Like, they don't share, because like, who wants to come home and be like, I had to save 5 people and I almost lost my life in a fight? You know, like, no, who wants to like kind of. So what are your suggestions on having people from the other side not, you know, put that judgment on? Because I think that also creates a lot of friction in households.
Yeah, trying not to like internalize your partner's bad mood.
Yes,
And kind of going into, well, what did I do, right? Mm-hmm. I think one, seeking therapy is probably going to help, because mm-hmm. that's not just a quick fix. But I know a lot of my couples, we talk about like having a check-in once a week where you talk about like really what's going on underneath, because like we do it all the time. Oh, how are you? Good. How are you? right? Mm-hmm. We're not actually really speaking about anything of substance. So having like a set time at least once a week where you can maybe dive into, okay, so this is maybe what's really going on and this is how you can help me. I might need a little bit more space this week. I might need some grace. I might need extra support, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm. And if you are in one of those public facing positions, whether it's a celebrity in any capacity, a musician, and you know, maybe you're making music for people that they can identify with, but knowing that once you get bigger, this is something that you said that was interesting, Camille, is that people are going to start to come after you no matter what because you are mm-hmm. popular.
You always got to say is like some's going to not like your image and some's going to like your image. It goes, it's not going to be fully. And for anyone on earth that has been on TV, there will always be two sides. It's just, you got to stick to the own narrative and then you know, it's like, yeah, you can get, yeah, you get hurt. And then you question yourself if you got to keep on going, you know, on the TV. I was questioning myself after Halloween Baking Championship. Do I want to do, you know, like another TV show? And then before I start lining up, you know, like possible other casting, and then I start to get cast again, and they come to me, and then I say yes or no. And then Beat Bobby Flay came up, and I was going through the Fire Academy, so I end up like not going to Beat Bobby Flay. But I was like, okay, it's like, do I need that mentally? It's like, because it's a way, mm-hmm. you know. It's like the Halloween Baking Championship. They were Reddit made on the show, and then it was detrimental to the winners, Melanie, and she had death threat sent through. Beyond, you know, a cooking show on her Instagram. So I had to like just like put, you know, like a message on the on social media. But there are monsters in those platforms like Reddit, whereas like. Ton of negativity, like, you know, got created. Those platforms were like, you know, at first is like just like a platform that it was made, you know, for their helps, you know, like on topic on the house and more and such. But it's like it became, you know, like just like lynch, and then instead of going to therapy, I'm gonna just like go with my keyboard and then just get really hardcore on like people that I don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't also like understand that there is that narrative that the show, the production can sometimes build. It's not wrong for the production teams because they have to build a narrative with what they have, mm-hmm. And it's TV. But you have to take it as TV, you know, it's like it's mm-hmm. entertainment, and sometimes people are getting too far one ways, and that's you have to separate yourself from it. And it's your business, it's your livelihood. So if you work for someone, you work for someone. But when you have your business line up behind, now I'm thinking about my children's. And then my children's, you know, it's like it's my house, it's the city of Buffalo where I'm living, it's the Buffalo Fire Department now if I go on a TV mm-hmm. show. So since I don't baking championships, I not only represent myself, so it's a lot of people representing. So it's like there's a lot down, you know, it's like in the scales. You can be like, you know, as publicly as like, you know, it's like seeing of like the cancel culture, whereas like, you know, it's like you gotta be not anymore a Buffalo mm-hmm. Fire because, you know, X, Y happened on the show. And you got to be really like, you know, it's like mindful all the time on like what you're going to say and then being censors. And then slowly it's like, you know, I take it back. And then I was like, okay, it's like, I'm going to moderate myself, but I'm also going to be myself. And that goes with like, you know, taking times away from my responsibilities, you know, it's like for the kitchens and then taking a step away. That is so important because I can go back fresh and say, okay, it's like, you know, I did something else. That mindset is there is highs and lows. It's a roller coaster of emotions and it's draining. Like mm-hmm. eight days at a TV show, start at 6 a.m. You get call times. Then you're going to be back probably at the hotel by 10:30 p.m. sometime later. There is a long interview. Sometimes you redo the scene. They say the joke one time and they redo the joke a second time to make sure that, you know, it's like they get the right type. So you get a fake laugh. You got to keep your smile. It is insane. You know, yeah, it's not normal. It's a circus and it's acting. And you do cook for real. You do the baking, but it's acting. And and you were not born an actor. I didn't went to school for acting. Yeah. I went for culinary school. So you're learning on that. And I definitely made some false step. Like 2020, guys go three games, definitely got a big head, and I take accountability for that. It's like cutting off of like guys go three game. I won guys go three game in 2020, and I definitely during COVID-19 is like went going through my divorce, and it's like I made so many mistakes. And moving forward, you know, it's like I was like, okay, it's like I want to be the best of myself for that, and you know, it's like I never being like, you know, I have heavy drinkers, but like it's been 9 months, drinks are not around me. I just like feel like, you know, it's like I clean up around the house, and that goes with, you know, a long way for like emotion. You know, it's not just doing therapy. It's processing your emotions, whatever is going to affect, you know, it's like your day, the amount of sleep that you get. If you intoxicated yourself, you know, with alcohol, you say something wrong to the family at Christmas time.
That's like, I mean, we're proud of you. I'm proud of you. And it's inspirational. And, you know, to piggyback on what Naila was saying before, you know, before we wrap up and we want to leave, you know, thank you for being so open, Camille, mm-hmm. and so vulnerable, because I think that goes a long way with maybe other people that are mm-hmm. listening or watching, because, you know, they may see you of what they see you on TV and mm-hmm. social media. And I think being able to identify with somebody is very helpful. But to piggyback on what Naila was saying about, you know, non-traditional families and non-traditional roles, your body doesn't know when you go home that you're not at work anymore, right? Like your body mm-hmm. doesn't know that you have just stepped into this mm-hmm. one space 5 minutes later and now mm-hmm. you're supposed to turn it off. So do you have any suggestions as your professional licensed marriage and family therapist, Krista, on how to do that?
Yeah. It's really hard. I think I personally love like a lot of visualization techniques, right? Like on your way home, visualize, okay, like I'm keeping all the stressors at work. And as I'm driving further to my home, like it's kind of melting off of me. I had a professor in grad school who like would pull the negative energy off of her. And I remember thinking like, that's so dumb. I'm never going to do that. But it's really helpful, right?
Yeah.
So any type of visualization where you are able to kind of compartmentalize, put that in a box, it'll be waiting for you when you come back to work and enter into family life. And if you mm-hmm. find it really difficult to do that, it may be worth asking yourself why. What feels difficult about putting it down? What fears do I have about setting that down? Things like that.
Wow. So I think we should have like a monthly mental health check-in, because it is Mental Health Awareness Month, May, as we're wrapping it up. But I feel like this is a theme in a lot of the things that we talk about in pop culture. So I really appreciate you being here, Krista, because I know you have work and patience. So I appreciate people being able to hear your perspective. And of course, Camille, for sharing your story, because I do think that we need constant reminders. You know, it might have been a month or so or a year before maybe you checked it on your emotions and your habits. So this is a recheck for everybody watching and listening today.
I was going to just add, like, for the one tool that I use and then I've been using since October, Transcendental Meditations. For everyone who's listening, it's like, I'm going to say it again, Transcendental Meditations. And it's David Lynch, who was a huge advocate for it. And then also, it's like many actors, Marvel actors, definitely use it. And then it's Transcendental Meditations. Doesn't take any tools. You can look it up online. It's easy to learn. And it's awesome. It's like breathing technique. And you don't fight the emotions. You're just processing. And I think that helps for that transitions.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, you're waking up the mornings, you go into a wall, you're going to take 20 minutes to just like, you woke up and then you're going to sit down, you're going to close your eyes, and then you're going to think about, you know, whatever going to go through your minds, and then you're going to process that. And that helps, because it makes me recognize that sometimes I go from waking up and straight to the coffee and then go into the wall.
Yeah.
And then same when you go home, just like getting that transitions, and then you, maybe it's visualizing when you close your eyes, maybe it's what I didn't identify, but breathing is the best things ever we can do is.
I'm going to try that for labor. Camille.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw it. I was the one to say. I didn't want to ask.
Oh, yeah. I'm pregnant. I'm not just okay. Fat. Okay.
Looks like she has a basketball stuck under her shirt. I have it on my
shirt.
It's
perfect. You're matching.
We're matching. Good shit, Knicks.
All right. Well, how do we get in on that bet? Comment. And
like, comment, and subscribe.
And add your prediction for Naila's child being born.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us on Group Chat. I'm Bentley.
I'm Naila.
I'm Charles.
We'll see you next week.